Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big bad show tonight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pop Culture Pub. No. Your ears do not deceive you. Playing the role of host tonight will be yours truly, Kevin Decent. You're not in a mirror universe. There's no shenanigans taking place here. We're going to talk about something different tonight. Now, there's many pubs. There's a pub you might frequent in your neighborhood. There's a pub you went to when you were at college. There's a Pop Culture Pub. Tonight, we're going to talk about a pub that caters to men in tights. Because tonight, we're talking about pro wrestling. I am joined by your usual host, Chris Lockhart.
Oh, hello. I am in a mirror universe because I am not used to this. But I am drinking a Coors Golden Banquet beer. Because I am a guest at this pub, so I figured I should drink.
That, you know, the funny thing is, because you mentioned the Coors there, it kills me anytime I went to Canada when Labatt and Molson were the cheaper beers on tap, and the Coors was, or the Budweiser, even worse, was the imported beer.
And because you're in the States, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but, you know, I'd do a trip to Canada, and they'd say, oh, would you like a Labatt? And it'd be a dollar or two cheaper. I was stunned.
That's awesome. Yeah, like, for myself, I don't even drink Molson or Labatt. I did when I was younger, but now, I don't know, I can't do it. Coors I like, and I like the more of the microbrewery stuff. Like, we have a brewery in Calgary called Big Rock, which is really good. They got lots of good beer.
So we have Chris there at the Performance Center, seeing if he can make it onto the big show of Raw or SmackDown. And we have a fellow wrestling fan joining us, Rich Reeder.
Ooh, yeah, ready to snap into a podcast.
How's it going, guys?
Good. I'm good.
I'm super excited. I have been a almost lifetime lover of wrestling. I've fallen off a few times here and there, but I always try to at least keep one foot in the wrestling zone so that I still kind of understand or know what's going on and ready to chat about it.
Ready to rumble, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Now, to break kayfabe, which is a wrestling term, and Chris, I'll let you know, a lot of wrestling terms came from the carnival circuit, because that's where pro wrestling started, with the traveling fairs and carnivals, and carny language is sort of a bastardized form of pig Latin. So kayfabe is an evolution from fake, and kayfabe is what they'd whisper to each other to, hey, there's a fan coming along, we need to be in character here. But to break kayfabe, it's ironic that we are recording this show during Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, well,
my time zone.
This is what, hour two?
Hour three for me.
Oh, is it hour three? Well, we're in the same time zone, so I guess, yeah, okay.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty, yeah, that is, I still can't believe that they're 3 hours. It's so ridiculous.
No overruns anymore, though.
But it's like, how many, like, they've got at least 45 minutes to an hour worth of commercials in that 3-hour show. That's the problem.
Yes. Yeah. Plus 2 hours of SmackDown, Plus, unofficially announced today, 2 hours of Raw. Or, sorry, 2 hours of NXT coming in September.
But it's funny, though, because if you download the episodes and watch them, like, without any commercials, like, they're, like, still, they're digestible. You know what I mean? Like, because if you download Raw without any commercials, it's only, like, 2 hours and 10 minutes or something like that, 2 hours and 15 minutes. And even, like, one of the newer ones that I've been slowly getting into is NXT UK. I've been watching a little bit of that, and it's only, like, 45-minute show or something. Like, it's so fast. It goes by so quickly, especially because, like, I watch everything. Everything I watch it in at least 1.2 to 1.5 speed. And wrestling is, I find, so much better when you watch it faster, because then even if they do mess up a little bit or if they're a little slow, if you're watching it fast, it looks even better. Everybody just looks like a crazy luchador if you're watching it at super speed.
Like, someone suggested doing podcasts at 1.5 speed, and I just couldn't.
I did give myself
time to get used to it.
Depending on the podcast,
they throw me off.
I've listened to some of them. I listened to up to like 1.7, depending on who's in it or who the host is or what they're talking about. I can listen up to 1.7 for podcast. I don't listen or watch anything at 1x speed unless it's on regular cable or on Netflix, because I can't speed up Netflix. But you can speed up YouTube, you can speed up downloads, and I can speed up on my podcasts.
I might try it again. Got too much to do.
Well, that way you can fit more in less time, right? Like, even like that 3-hour episode of Raw, which comes down to 2 hours and 15 minutes, if you downloaded it, then when you watch it at like 1.5 or 1.8x, now it's only an hour and 15 minutes long or something, right? So it's a lot easier to digest it that way, I find. Sure. Plus, again, yeah, it looks really cool when they're going super fast.
Or some of the promos a little faster wouldn't hurt. Now, Chris asked me to host this week because he's aware of my deep love and fandom of pro wrestling. I'll do a little backstory for myself, and then Rich, if you would like to tell a little bit, and then Chris, if you'd like to give us a baseline of your knowledge or experience.
Okay.
But for me, it started at my babysitter's when I was younger. My babysitter was the type that she had many kids that she babysat and many kids of her own. So they would tape everything. So no matter what a kid wanted to watch or her own children wanted to watch, they had it. So they were the type that go to the video store and pop in the tape, hook up 2 VCRs, have a copy of that, tape everything off of HBO. And somewhere along the way, someone there had a tape of WrestleMania 3. And that's the infamous one with Hulk Hogan against Andre the Giant, and also Randy Savage against Ricky Steamboat. Now, somehow I knew what wrestling was. I don't know how at a young age, just through osmosis. Somehow my kid knows who John Cena is, even though John Cena barely wrestles now, and I don't think I've ever watched a Cena match in front of him. But he knows who John Cena is, much like I knew who Hulk Hogan was. So I would watch that, and I put that tape in because, you know, I couldn't find something else I wanted to watch that day. And I was amazed by it. It was superheroes come to life. It's violent. It's fighting. It's silly. It's this. It's that. It was just anything a kid could be interested in is on the screen for at least 10 minutes. And then there's something else. Also, very quick cut, which is your MTV Gen X style. So I started with that, and then I'd be home. Cartoons are ending around 11 or noon on a Saturday. There's wrestling. Oh, my gosh. So I started renting wrestling tapes just to get up to date with it. I found out what kids at school had parents that would order them the pay-per-views, and suddenly I became friends with these kids. Can't imagine why. And I would either go over to their homes to watch pay-per-views, or they'd bring me in a copy of it the next day or a day later. One of my best friends in the world, we had a friend in common, but the two of us weren't really friends. We would hang out as part of a bigger group, but we didn't hang out. Well, I was 16. My family was moving to a new house. he was bored and said, hey, I'm not doing anything today. I have a car. If you want, you can use my car. We'll load stuff up. Just hang out for the day. And again, this was more of an acquaintance than a friend at the time. I thought, all right. And he goes into my room and he sees my wrestling stuff and goes, wait, you watch wrestling? We immediately went to his house and I saw his collection, and that was, we were all set. So, like, we've watched every week. We've gone to WrestleMania, SummerSlam, multiple independent shows. And when we were younger, this was a me thing, and I'll admit it, and I'm made fun of to this day. If we're watching live, pre-WWE Network, because now there's no end time, but we knew pay-per-views had to be over at a certain time, I would put something in front of the cable clock to block the time, so I wouldn't know how much time was left. Because if I thought, oh, there's 20 minutes left until the top of the hour, we could still have 15 more minutes of a match. If I knew there's only 2 minutes left, I knew something was about to happen that was going to be all screwy and it was going to be a disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want my mind to know what was coming, and I insisted on it being blocked. But, I mean, I watch all the time. I have a subscription to the network. It's something I'll throw on just for the heck of it. I'm trying to figure out, because there's a whole new group starting in October. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to watch it. I'm hoping it's on Hulu eventually.
You don't have TNT?
I don't have cable. I'm a cord cutter.
Wow. Okay.
So I don't know if TNT and Hulu have a deal. I don't think they do, but I could be wrong. I'm sure someone will end up carrying it.
Well, I mean, you can always get the Fight app, right? Because they're already on the Fight app.
Yeah, that's true. But if anything, I like wrestling enough that sometimes it upsets me I can't do more. I went and saw WrestleMania on my mom's birthday. Kind of ditched her. I just found out there's an indie show about 2 miles down the road on Saturday, but I have to work Saturday night. So I'm partly wondering if I can change that. But it's been, if anything, I think there's a Venn diagram of a crossover of what's appealing in comics and what's appealing to wrestling. An eternal battle of good versus evil featuring muscular people in colorful outfits. So I think if you like one, there's a good chance you're going to like the other.
Oh, yeah. I can see that for sure.
Now, Rich, how did you get interested? What's your origin tale?
I'm not exactly sure exactly how it came into my life, but at some point, I'm guessing my dad or one of the tenants that lived in my dad's house when I was a child, probably, oh gosh, I must have been somewhere around grade 4 or grade 5. There was I think it was WrestleMania's Greatest Hits or something like that tape. And I found that and I started watching it and I fell in love. I don't remember much about that exact tape. The only thing that I do remember is it included the first ever WWF superstar and NFL player battle royal from WrestleMania 2. Featuring what was his name? William Perry or William the Fridge Perry.
The Fridge.
Yeah. So I very much remember that. I'm pretty sure there was a Hillbilly Jim match on it. I think there was a Bushwhackers match on it, possibly something like that. I just totally got into it from there. There was definitely, I mean, I'm sure there was a Hulk Hogan match of some kind on there and probably a Macho Man Randy Savage match, you know what I mean? But I got into it a little bit from there. I didn't have cable at the time when I was younger. My dad was a cord cutter before cord cutting was popular. I think he had cable once the entire time that I can remember, like even up into the point when he passed away when I was like 16, 17, in like 17 years, basically, like he never, I think he had cable once for like 3 months because it was a tester sort of thing, right? But so I only ever had that one tape, and then I started like, I didn't really watch it much for a little while because I didn't know anybody that was really into it. So I was forced to basically play the video games because I had a Nintendo Entertainment System and then I had a Genesis. So I played what wrestling games I could find on those sort of things and played the arcade games when I went down to the arcade. And then, you know, once WCW came around and started getting big in the mid to late 90s, by that point, I started, you know, to know a couple people who were into the whole Monday Night War thing. So I was able to go over to a few of their houses and I'd catch an episode here or there. But again, I still wasn't watching very much, but I very much enjoyed it. I loved it. I had a few toys, even as a little child. Some of the extremely hard plastic, like they were like 5 pounds, like they couldn't move at all. They were like just terrible things to have as a child because you could just chuck them at somebody and probably give them a concussion.
The Hogan era rubber ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I had a few of those, but I finally was able to start watching it and really getting into it in the, I'd say early 2000s, like probably like 2002, 2003. I started really getting into it because I could watch it. I could, you know, at that point I had a part-time job. My parents would allow me to order a pay-per-view every once in a while. I'd have a bunch of my friends over, you know, we'd be playing Xbox, like what was it, WWE or WWF Raw or whatever it was. Raw is War on Xbox. We'd play that and then we'd watch, you know, Raw, and then we'd, you know, rent the WrestleMania pay-per-view or whatever. And I got really into it, especially around like the first few years of the Cena. Like, I remember when he used to be his little, you know, Doctor of Thugonomics. Like, oh my gosh, I loved him so much. He was incredible. So yeah, I got into it a lot around then, and then kind of fell off around the late 2000s, I want to say, and just kind of kept my finger on the pulse, and I would always kind of read news about it or, you know, catch clips. Even these days, I don't. I watch it a little more now, but I still watch a lot of it. Just clips on YouTube, or I'll watch the highlights on YouTube and stuff like that. I watch a lot of like top lists, and I listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts nowadays. So that's kind of where I am now, as I sit here and listen to all of Conrad Thompson's podcasts. Obviously, like any good wrestling fan, especially the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, any fan of the older wrestling, like who knows anything about podcasts, like those are the shows to listen to. They're so informative, so much fun, so hilarious. So many great stories with, you know, great co-hosts. You know, you've got like, what is it, 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. Then you've got the one with Bruce Pritchard. He's got another one coming out with Arn Anderson coming out this September. He does one with Tony Schiavone and who's the other? Oh, yeah, JR. He does another one with JR. And like, they're so incredible. So I kind of stick my toes in there. And then nowadays when I go to the gym, I watch wrestling. So I download a few shows and then go to the gym and I'll watch two or three shows while I'm at the gym or listen to them. So I can kind of catch up a little bit here and there, you know?
Now, before we jump to Chris here, just to go back a moment when we were talking about watching and listening to things at 1.5 speed, had I realized you were in Connor's area, that makes a lot more sense, as sometimes those are 4 to 5 hour podcasts. It's a commitment.
Well, yeah, the Conrad Thompson ones, especially like Bruce Pritchard, some of the older sheets. Episodes. Yeah. Oh, Between the Sheets as well. Are they long? Yeah, ones?
It's like 5.5 hours.
Oh, wow. I've heard of them. I haven't listened to them yet.
They'll go through everything that happened in an entire week, but for everyone. Here's what happened: WWE, WCW, ECW, Japan.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, I have to check that
for
out.
A week. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah, I like some of the longer episodes that Conrad and Bruce did were so interesting, though, that like you can't, like sometimes you may have to split it up into two different sittings, but like it's so interesting how they break down everything right into detail and they bring you week to week, you know, through the TV episodes following a certain storyline or just in general, like what's happening in WWE at the time leading up to a specific match or up to a specific pay-per-view or something. Like, I love that sort of thing. But yeah, you're right. Like, you almost have to listen to it at a faster speed because some of them can get really long for sure. Although they're a lot shorter nowadays, now that everybody, they all get keep behind the getting hired back by the WWE, everybody he works with.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious.
Now, Chris, now that we've scared you off with this Avengers Endgame level of commitment to podcasting, much less the actual shows. So I know, and we've talked on our own, but not on the podcast for the general audience. Wrestling is nowhere near for you what it is for Chris and I, but you do still have an enjoyment of it when you do watch it, a respect for it, and history of your own. You've just never crossed over to the level that we have.
I wouldn't say that. I have. I was kind of like what Rich was saying with John Cena there. Like, I was following, like, I was watching Raw and SmackDown religiously for probably from 2002, I want to say, till about 2007. That's kind of when I stepped away, I think. And I went to a few events. Like, they had the 2004 Backlash pay-per-view in Edmonton. I went to that. I've went to a SmackDown show, and I want to say I went to a Raw as well. I might be remembering incorrectly. But that pay-per-view, the Backlash, was a Raw pay-per-view, because back then that's when they would do the switch with the pay-per-view, so it would be like a SmackDown pay-per-view 1 month and then a Raw pay-per-view the next month. I don't know if they still do that, but they kind of did that for a while there, where Raw and SmackDown were like their own franchises, and they didn't really cross over too much, except for like WrestleMania. They would cross over at Royal Rumble, and I want to say SummerSlam.
The Big Four. SummerSlam and Survivor Series, they would.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was into wrestling there for a while. It was my buddy Artie that kind of got me into it, because he's like you guys, lifelong wrestling fan, right? But no, like, the thing is, where I grew up, I didn't really have the exposure to wrestling. You know, like, my mom's friends once in a while, you know, would record a pay-per-view off the satellite, so we'd get to watch that. You know, every once in a while, like, when the local video store would get a new WWF, you know, event on VHS, we would go rent it. So when I was really little, I mean, I was a Hogan fan. I was, you know, big Hulk Hogan fan. I used to have his, you know, when they would have like Hulk Hogan shampoo, I had that. I had the action figures, that sort of thing. And I remember they also had, like, that's also the same time period where you had the transition from Andre the Giant to Hulk Hogan, and then they tried to do the transition of Hulk Hogan to Ultimate Warrior. I remember watching what I could during that time period. And then we moved, when I was 10 years old, to the acreage that we lived on for the rest of my time at home. And Saturdays, they would have what they called Maple Leaf Wrestling. Now, what Maple Leaf Wrestling is basically, it's like a condensed version of WWF. Like, they basically would just show highlights of different WWF events. So
Alberta, right?
Not in Alberta. Like, just over the whole WWF. So you'd see, like, I'd see...
No. I mean, you were living in Alberta.
Yes, yeah. I was living in I want to say central Alberta, like north central Alberta, because wrestling is very big in Calgary, because that's, mm-hmm, of course, where the Hart family comes from.
And Stampede.
And Stampede Wrestling. I did watch Stampede Wrestling when I was a kid. That was the one that I loved. It was on Saturday afternoons. I believe it was 2 to 4 o'clock on CTV. And, of course, my favorite, I don't know, I'm sorry, this is not politically correct in 2019, but back in the 80s, we referred to it as midget wrestling. That was my favorite. I loved that. Kudos to those guys. But actually, my roots with wrestling actually go back a long way with my mom's family, and I didn't know about this until 2003. I was having a conversation with my grandma. And I don't even know why we were talking about wrestling. But, like, see, my grandpa was big into boxing. My grandpa loved boxing. He was a boxer in the Army during World War II. So he did that as well as serve in the Army. So he met a lot of people. He met I think this is how the story goes. He had a friend that was a boxing promoter who also happened to be friends with Stu Hart. And during hunting season, this would have been like in the 60s and 70s, Stu and my grandpa's friend would come up and stay at my grandma and grandpa's place and go hunting. And Stu would bring his sons. He would bring Brett and Owen. And so, I don't know, I was talking with my grandma about wrestling, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, and she's telling me about Stu Hart. And I was like, oh, yeah, that, you know, I know who Stu Hart is, and that's awesome. She's like, yeah, he used to bring his boys, too, with him. And then she said, you know, Brett and Owen. Like, so my grandma knew them when they were little kids. Well, my grandma and grandpa knew them when they were little boys. And, yeah, I guess they were really polite little boys. They used to come hunting with their dad. And apparently they were a big fan of my grandma's pancakes. Because my grandma, of course, you know, like, they would come up and she fed everybody, right? And my grandma was, that's what she did when she was working. She worked in camps and in restaurants. She was a cook. And so she was very good. Like, I know I used to eat her pancakes all the time. They're amazing. So, yeah, it was cool to know, to learn that connection with the Hart family and with my mom's family. And I have other wrestling stories I'll throw out there later on in the podcast. But that's kind of my origin. I don't know. I want to say when there was another podcast that I used to listen to, and they used to talk a lot about wrestling. So I kind of dipped in a little bit, I want to say 2013, 2014. But unfortunately, I just couldn't commit to diving back into wrestling. I want to say my favorite wrestler is probably Goldberg. And I really like Brock Lesnar, too.
Wait, still? To this day?
Yeah, like I said, I haven't watched
lately. Did you see his most recent match?
No.
With Ziggler?
Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. It was like an old school Goldberg match. You'd probably love it. It was like a WCW-style match, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It took about a minute and a half, and it was over.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came back out and beat him up like five more times because Ziggler just wouldn't shut the fuck up. It was great.
Well, I had heard he came back because he was back in the WWE for like a year. Like, I think I want to say WrestleMania 2003. No, he came back. Well, he came back,
no,
I think.
Within the last 2 years.
No, no, but I mean, he came back to do those few matches. Like 2004 or something, with Brock, like he ended with Brock there, but then he came back in 2016 and had that really, really good run with Brock then, at least I personally think it was pretty damn good. And then he just came back again in Saudi Arabia a few months ago and did a match with The Undertaker that was fucking terrible because he got concussed partway through the match. Ugh. And then just did another match with Ziggler, and I think that's about it.
Yeah, I totally missed that. But no, that's awesome to hear that he came back. Like, yeah, because in the mid-2000s, 2003, 2004, he was only there for like a year. And then, I don't know, he had a falling out with Vince or something, and they didn't renew his contract or something.
When WCW folded, much of the talent had guaranteed contracts for years still.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all your bigger names, Goldberg, Hogan, Sting, Booker T even, because he took a buyout, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall. So when WCW invaded WWE, it was the guys who didn't have guaranteed deals, or if they did, it was for much less money, and they were willing to go and get the exposure and start making more money. Whereas everyone else said, well, screw it, I'm going to just sit at home for a couple of years. Why not? Rest up. So when Goldberg finally came in, he debuted the night after WrestleMania, which is when you do your big debuts.
Yep.
He had feud against Rock, feud against Brock Lesnar, lost title, took off the next year at WrestleMania, had an infamous match with him versus Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 20, actually, week before it leaks online that both of them are leaving. Brock, very young, because this is almost 15 years ago for WrestleMania 20, decided that he didn't want to travel, coach anymore, or even first class. He wanted his own private plane. He wanted to work a part-time schedule. He wanted all these amenities. And wrestling didn't, flat out did not do that at the time for people. They just didn't.
No.
Goldberg wanted more money, and they said no, and a part-time schedule, and his quick matches, and no house shows. They said no. Both of them were going to leave immediately after WrestleMania match, which was in Madison Square Garden. Steve Austin was the referee for it, already retired, but you throw him on there because he's a name. Goldberg and Brock were booed out of the building. Austin, as the retired referee, is the only one getting cheers. Had to stun both Goldberg and Brock at the end of the match just to have the fans happy at the end. And then the next night on Raw, backstage, Austin says he's not happy with the way things are, and he took off too.
I think I remember that. I remember that match being so disappointing, because that was the one I was looking forward to the most. And then it ended up the... Because that was the WrestleMania when Eddie Guerrero won too, right?
Yep. And then, well, no, Benoit won the
World Heavyweight
Big Gold Belt, the Flair title.
Yeah.
Eddie had won it the month before from Brock at No Way Out, but the two of them were both champions and hugged in the ring at the end.
Yeah, but Eddie had to defend it against somebody, didn't he? If I remember
correctly. He defended it against, I want to say, Angle.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Okay. Because I believe the Angle went for an ankle lock, but Eddie had loosened his boots already, so he just rolled out of his boots.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle sitting there just holding an empty boot, and then Eddie rolled him up for the pin.
Yeah. That's also the WrestleMania where John Cena fought the Big Show.
Yes, yeah. Winning.
Is that the one that they... Did they collapse the ring there?
Not at Mania.
Oh, okay.
They've done the ring collapse on SmackDown a couple times.
Love it but when they do that.
they'll replace a table at ringside, but to replace a ring during a pay-per-view is just too much. You can do it during a Raw or SmackDown, either at the end of the show, or I have one of my friends was there for the infamous Austin beer bath, when he drove the beer truck out and sprayed everyone with a hose.
Nice.
And during the they did a commercial break and a backstage promo. That's how much time it took for them to strip everything down, get all the wet stuff off, and put new ones down. He said it was a team of like 50 people just ran out, cleaned everything up, took off.
That's crazy. They had to do that, I'm sure, a lot too during the Attitude Era, trying to replace all the mats too, because they were all like bloody and shit, right?
Yep, you used to have to do it to replace blood. That depends on the state. Every state has a different rules, different athletic commission. If you notice, some places you need to have pads down and some you don't. All the referees have to have gloves now in case someone's busted open for real. They don't do planned blood too much anymore. Every once in a while will happen, but it's very rare now. Now, there was, to go back, there was a meme a while ago. It's a picture of North America. It said pro wrestling. In the States, it's entertainment. In Mexico, it's a religion. And in Canada, it's a sport. And I couldn't have agreed more. And just hearing the stories of watching Stampede and, you know, hearing Brett and Owen on hunting trips just seems surreal, but of course, they were real people, and, you know, it's almost territory. Well, it was territory times then, too. And the reason you had WWF on your maple leaf is because Vince McMahon went up to Stu Hart and said, here's a bunch of money. I want your time slot, and I want your talent. But, you know, for sitting here at the Pop Culture Pub, usually... When someone says, now, this is not my wife I'm talking about, but this is a relationship before her. I was dating a girl, and her mom said, well, what's he like? And she said, oh, well, you know, he's at school for this. and he likes comics and pop culture stuff, and he likes wrestling. And she said, stop. I thought you said he was intelligent. Because wrestling still has a stigma. And mm-hmm. if I'm talking to someone, you know, say a coworker discovers I like wrestling. Well, why do you like wrestling? You're in your 40s. And I'll say it's kind of like baseball. You have your minor league. You get someone you see in your hometown that you start supporting, that you get behind. And when they make it big, you are living vicariously through them and you're entertained by it. And I said, to take another sports analogy for it, we all know it's fake. The genie's out of the bottle. We're all aware. But it's kind
of not
like
fake. It's staged.
It's
the end is staged. Don't say that F word, man. I'm still sensitive about that. I hate it when people. Yes, it's scripted. But so is Game of Thrones. So is the dumbest reality wives of Jersey Shore or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Even like reality shows are fucking scripted. So what's the fuck the difference? Ah, it gets me so mad when people say the fake word.
What I say to them is, it's like watching gymnastics or figure skating. Hey, I know what you're going to do. I know you're going to do this, this, and this, and this move because you have to. And this, I understand what you're going to do. I can come out and predict that you got to do the flip and a triple salchow and all this. What I want to know is I want to see how well you do it, how you put it all together, the story you tell me. Anyone can go out there and do, you know, run the ropes, throw a drop kick, do a headlock or whatever. But tell me a story. Put it all together in an interesting, engrossing way. That's what I want, is to be lost in it. Now, usually a bigger, like a sports reference will work in other pubs. But Pop Culture Pub, I do think it's a lot like comics.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
We can do The Watchmen, and then we can do Crisis, and then we can do Infinite and Identity and this and that and all. And in a way, a lot of them are the same story. Hey, Peter Parker can get upset and he gives up being Spider-Man and he walks away from it, but, you know, eventually he comes back. Captain America is dead or Batman's dead, coincidentally at the same time. Coincidentally, they both come back through some sort of, you know, lost in time story and come back at the end of the day. But they're chapters in the story. And we can kind of predict. I know at the end, the story has to end here. What's the journey you're going to take me on? How are you going to get me there? And I feel there's a lot of similarities for it. You take someone like, let me think of a big one here. Mick Foley. Mick Foley was Cactus Jack, WCW and ECW. And then he signed a contract with WWE and he had to change his gimmick. He became Mankind. A lot of similarities, but also a lot of differences. But the same person created both characters. And it was tweaked just enough that they could both be owned under copyright by different companies. Sort of like, I don't know, the New Gods versus the Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
Same creator, yep. Same person coming up with them all. But let's change it enough that no one gets in trouble here. Let me tell you a similar story. Let me have the same fights. But let me make the in-between point A and point B, let me make all that stuff in the middle entertaining for you. So you tune in every week. So you go to the comic shop every Wednesday. And is there, we've discussed wrestling stories, Star Trek stories, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a story, I'm asking both of you, they said, now that was a story. That if I could have a DVD set, not of a match, but if I could make a graphic novel of wrestling, of this whole story, what story would that be that you would want on a shelf? Like, this was an amazing wrestling story through Raws, SmackDowns, pay-per-views, whatever. I want all of this on a shelf here.
To be honest with, well, okay. The Chris Benoit story, not the way it ended, though.
Not the ending.
but, like, at the time, like, him, you know, because he had been out for a year, because he got concussed really bad, and then, like, his comeback, and then him winning the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania was amazing. And then, for me, like I said, like, they had the pay-per-view in Edmonton for Backlash the next month, so I got to see the rematch a month later, and it was awesome. But you know, like I said, unfortunately, you know, not the ending, but like up until then, like I remember, like I'm assuming that, like, because I don't buy DVDs anymore. I'm assuming WWE still releases everything on DVD or Blu-ray. Maybe they just do digital now. I'm not sure.
Nope. If you go to a Walmart, teehee for stereotypes here, but if you go to Walmart, there is still a wrestling section, and every pay-per-view will be there within a month of it airing live.
Okay.
And they'll have best of the year or best of this wrestler or best of this show or best tag teams. There's always a compilation volume as well. So about once a month, here's the new pay-per-view on DVD, and here's the new compilation.
See, like, when that happened, like, I went out and bought, because I had bought the pay-per-view for both of them, obviously, and I went to the Backlash. But I when they came out on DVD, I bought them right away. And I also bought the Chris Benoit story, like, because they had a DVD about him that came out. And, you know, like, for me, like, he was my guy there for a few years, because he's local, like, he's from Edmonton, and, you know, unfortunately, what happened, but I also know, you know, like, there's a lot of, you know, WWE really pushed, like, separated themselves from him. And, you know, we're in denial for a long time that, you know, his concussions contributed to it. But now, you know, I forget which Boston University or whatever, you know, that studied him after the fact, determined, like, he had significant brain damage. And then WWE had to change a lot of their rules and a lot of the way they did things in regards to concussions. So, unfortunately, like, this tragedy happened, but at the same time, you know, the guys that come after are being treated better because of it. Because it is, it's not just wrestling. I mean, it's, you know, they've seen this in football. They've seen this in hockey where guys are getting concussed and people, you know, for a long time it was, you know, you just shake it off, right? And you get back in there. But now they can't do that. So, but yeah,
thankfully,
yeah, if I was to make a story or to see that on a shelf, that I did literally have that on my shelf. I still have the DVDs, but yeah, anyway, that's me.
Rich, do you have one or do you want a moment?
I'll jump ahead. I don't know. I mean, like, I want to say first off that I wish that WWE, especially now that they have the network, I wish that they would put things out in storylines. I mean, like, I haven't had the network in a long time, so maybe they do this already, but, like, I wish that, like, if you wanted to see a specific storyline, you could just, like, press play, and it, because it's all digitized, they could, you know, kind of like a chapter mark or earmark, you know, each part of a storyline, so that, like, if you wanted to see, say, you know, the original WCW NWO storyline, you could watch it and it would just skip through the segments that is just related to that storyline. Or maybe you wanted to see the country west, what was it? You remember Rap is Crap versus
West
the
Texas Rednecks.
Thank you. West Texas Rednecks versus, like, Master P and those guys, like
the No Limit Soldiers.
Yes. When they came in, like, you could just watch just specific storylines and it would skip through, like, parts of an episode, different episodes of Monday Night Nitro, and then it would skip to, you know, the pay-per-view match and then the fallout on the next you know, Nitro and then Thunder, and it would skip through everything. Like, that would be really cool. I think that if they did that, they would get a hell of a lot more people watching full storylines and thus interacting with the network a lot more. I'm sure that that would be very hard to do on the back end and would probably require a lot of, you know, bot AI and human help to be able to do that. But I think that that would be great. Now, saying that, I think that, you know, the original NWO storyline would be great. I personally would love to even see, like, the second run of it when they started adding in, like, you know, the Red and Black versus the Wolfpack Because a lot of this stuff is kind of muddy in my head because I don't remember it all perfectly. And then you hear, you know, again, I listen to these podcasts where they talk about some of it here and there. And I'm like, I want to go back and watch the full story of this, or even like David Arquette. Obviously, I really want to go back and see some WCW stuff, but there's a lot of that sort of stuff that I would love to go back and get the full picture of. So, yeah, I mean, and even going back into the WWF days, like to be able to go back and get the entire Hulkamania or World Powers Unite, Greatest Powers,
Mega Powers,
Mega Powers. Thank you. The Mega Powers. You know, like that whole storyline of, you know, like just before, like he's a heel and then he comes back and now he's a face, and then him and Hogan kind of team up, and then you can see the jealousy slowly come in, you know, week after week or month after month, you see it start to get to him, and then, you know, you get the fallout, and then, you know, he goes heel again versus, you know, face Hogan, and, you know, to be able to capture that storyline, especially even like just Macho Man in general. Just to see his story arc, his whole story arc in WWE, WWF at the time, is very interesting through his face turns and his heel turns, and the fact that like he was only really a face when Miss Elizabeth was around, and when she wasn't around, he turned heel, and then when she came back, you know, her coming back was a sign to the fans that, oh, he's a good guy again. Like, it's very interesting how they did that. So I think some of those storylines would be great to see all encompassed in one video or package or graphic novel, like whatever, however you want to repackage it. That would be great. Any of those.
Now, there is the network did a major update a few weeks to a month ago. And you can kind of do that now, but it's not easy, but it's easier. Oh, so if you type Bischoff. In Macho Man, for example, if you type in Macho Man, it'll bring up everything Macho Man. So you could go by year on there. And it does have chapters now. So if you go to WrestleMania, you're not watching all of WrestleMania. It would just say, would you like to skip to the Macho Man match? Yes, I would. And then you could bring up, like, say, Superstars of Wrestling from the next month. But you're going to have to go back and search and back and search. And also it's easier as what it was before, but it's not quite there yet. Now, I have a couple of ideas here. I'm going to concentrate on one. But for honorable mention, I think the Tommy Dreamer versus Raven story from ECW would be great as a collection.
Dreamer versus Raven, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that. Well, a lot of the Raven storylines were really cool, like his flock from WCW.
I'm a huge Raven fan. I think he's brilliant. Sure. I think he's underrated. I think some of it's his own fault, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
The whole point in ECW was, Tommy, you will never beat him. That was the whole writing from the moment that their feud started. You will never defeat him. You'll come close. You'll think you've won. The fans will think you've won. It'll seem like you've overcome every obstacle. But in the end, he's always going to win. Because they're going to come right back thinking maybe the next time is the time that you'll win. Recently, and he's one half is injured, so maybe the story's over, maybe not. But in NXT, they've had Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano in this epic 4-year story that has been insane.
Oh, yeah. They
both come in as unsigned cruiserweights for a tournament, and they fight each other. And one's eliminated, and now you're not in the tournament anymore. Neither of us are signed, so I guess you got to go home. And they just collapse in the ring, and they're just sitting there, and they hug because they don't know what's next. That we've gotten this far, and this might be... You might be going ahead, and this might be as far as I ever go, and I'm glad for you, for my friend, but it sucks. This might be the end of my journey. And then they both get signed, and they team up, and they become tag team champions, and it's wonderful, and it's great. And then they lose titles, and Tommaso turns heel, and he starts attacking him. He starts building up this great heel character, and then he gets injured. So now he's gone for a year, and Johnny Gargano's making his way up, and he's about to reach the pinnacle. Right when his former best friend comes back, and then he reaches the pinnacle first. Now he's injured again. Who knows what will be next? But what I think was the best long-term story, you're talking about Hogan versus Macho Man being a story that was built up for 2 years, really, because you had to make the fans want him to be a face.
Yeah, and you don't get those long-term anymore. You could turn him. Right?
Not really, but I think the best long-term was for 5 years, Shawn Michaels told an epic story at WrestleManias. Start out with Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, which is maybe the most emotional match I've ever seen.
Oh, yes. Oh, totally.
The old yeller of matches.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline being the next time Ric Flair loses is his last match. He can keep wrestling until he loses. And he was pulling out victories he shouldn't have. And just by the skin of his teeth. And then there he is at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels. And of course, Shawn can't lose at WrestleMania. He's Mr. WrestleMania. And he's looking there at this beaten, broken old man. Looking across at his dad, pretty much. And says, "I'm sorry, I love you." And kicks him in the face for the pin.
I cried. I literally cried.
Oh my God. After like a 20-minute match, probably, mm-hmm. maybe even longer.
Yeah.
Next year, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Mr. WrestleMania versus The Streak. And everyone is convinced that Shawn's going to win. Until he doesn't. Because Undertaker had never been defeated yet. At this point. Wonderful match. People calling it the match of the year. End of the year, Shawn Michaels out there in Raw at the Slammy Awards. Match of the year, Shawn Michaels Undertaker comes out and goes, "Man, that was a great match. I lost it. But you know what? I know why I lost it. And I know the mistake I made. And I'm not going to make it again one more time." In December, they decide, here's Mania. So they do Shawn Michaels Undertaker again. Shawn Michaels had to trick the Undertaker into the match. Prod him. Goad him. Take away everything. So Undertaker comes out as the good guy, rising up as if from hell, with hands grabbing him like demon spirits in his entrance. But he's the good guy in this. And Shawn Michaels comes from the ceiling, bathed in white, but as the bad guy. And it's this weird flipped good versus evil battle. And Shawn Michaels comes even closer to winning than he did last time, but he still loses. The following year, we have Triple H versus The Undertaker. With Shawn Michaels as the referee. Everything against The Undertaker. Even Shawn Michaels warning Triple H, "You can't beat him. You can't beat him. I've tried twice. No one can beat him." And it builds this epic story of, but maybe the two of them together could. And in the end, no. Still doesn't. Undertaker still wins. And all three just collapse and hug in the middle of the ring, just having expended every last bit of energy they have. And honestly, in the moment, I thought there was a last match for all three. I really did. Turned out not to be true. But I really thought that was it for all three of them. I was like, this is the end of an era. This is not a chapter ending. This is a book ending. There will be all the wrestling before this moment and now after. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. There's always the reboot. There's always the extra issue. There's always something a little more. And I was wrong. I thought, this time it'll be different, though. But I think there are a few things that can take you on a roller coaster ride like that. I can watch, I mean, baseball, yay, my team won. I don't really care for any sport, really. If I'm watching a comedy, I'm here to laugh. Sometimes there's an emotional episode. But I can leave it. Same with a drama. But for some reason, for wrestling, there have been moments where, whether it's people online in this current era or before on the phone or the next day at school, everyone, oh my God, it happened. Whatever that it is, it happened. Okay. I can't believe it happened.
So speaking of that,
I remember I have it for The Miz winning the title. Never thought that was going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
For CM Punk, he's lost my favor now. I think he shat all of it away, all of the fans' goodwill. But in the moment, I was losing it. Here's someone no one ever thought was going to win it. But there are moments in wrestling that I think resonate harder than anything similar. So go ahead, Rich. You're going to make
I was just going to say, do you think that the Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes match is one of those matches that puts you on an emotional roller coaster? Because I know for me, that was one of only, and this happened earlier this year at their, was it Double or Nothing, right? It was the one in Vegas, I think. Yeah. It was. And that was one of only two confirmable, maybe three matches in my entire lifetime that I have, cried, screamed, totally gone through and about, got angry at the script, everything, top to bottom. That is one of the most emotional matches that I've ever had, along with that Ric Flair match for sure. And do you think that is allowed kind of in the same territory? Like, would you qualify it to be in that same area? Or for that matter, did you see the match actually?
Yes. And the only reason it's a step below, mm-hmm, it's because you have the person controlling the outcome in the match. In the other matches, the person who's the writer, the booker, the person in charge of everything is not in the match. Mm-hmm. So anytime, let's just go back to Mania this year. Yeah, we all thought Kofi Kingston was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
We all hoped he would win. It wasn't just, I've been with this company 12, 13 years, whatever, and worked my way up literally from the bottom to come up to this point now. It was, hey, no black person has ever won this title. And that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's you.
Yeah, I still have issues with him. I love him,
at any point they could have said, nope, not your time. Daniel, mm-hmm, O'Brien, WrestleMania 30, at any point they could have said, nope, not your time.
Yep.
Huge emotional moments. But for Cody and Dustin, no one but Cody was going to decide if that was happening or not. And he was in the match.
That's true.
So that's the only reason I'm going to put it down.
But it wasn't about a title, right? It was about brother versus brother. It wasn't even about necessarily one winning over the other. It was just about the emotional, just the fact that they get to actually fight. You know what I mean? Like, they hadn't gotten this match. And you know, beyond the kayfabe, we all knew, as, you know, Smart Mark fans, we all knew that they'd been, you know, lobbying for this match years ago in WWE, and that they should have had a chance to do it. And you know, when they finally got it, this is what we get, right? So we knew it was going to come, but I personally would put it on that level. But you do make a very good point. And I would like to say, because I don't think Chris has seen it, I would like to say to you, Chris, please go out and watch this match and let us know. You tell us on you know, Facebook Messenger, Twitter, you know, Pop Culture Pub group, whatever. But I think you need to go out and watch this match, because personally, I think it's one of the best matches of the year as far as emotional rides, whether or not Cody is the booker and he's in it. Just the emotional ride of the match and how hardcore it got. They were bleeding and you know, everything. And then by the end of it, anyway, I don't want to go too deep into it if Chris is going to watch it, but okay. it's an incredibly emotional match. You know, should have happened years ago, but I would personally put it in that pantheon of emotional roller coaster matches, especially with some of the promos that they did for it. It was very interesting because they don't have a TV show for AEW yet, so they aren't able to build matches like WWF can at this point. They have to rely on their YouTube channels, so it was very interesting how they did that.
No.
Sorry.
It is that match is on YouTube. We'll say not officially, but it's there.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was looking for it recently. And I didn't want to pay for it again.
Yeah.
But it's there. I'll say that.
Now, well, there you go, Chris.
Okay, I will check it out.
Now for both of you, I would say for comics and wrestling comparison, or throw sci-fi in it as well, I think a stigma that people give comics and sci-fi is thinking it's all the same, which is absurd. Star Trek is not Star Wars, is not this, is not that. Mm-hmm. Marvel is not Archie, is not Dark Horse, is not, you know, like, yep. You can go on and on. These are means of telling a story, and there are genres within it. It's like saying all movies are comedies or all TV shows are documentaries. No. These are means to tell a story, and any story can be told within. So I think wrestling, even if you know, Stampede is not what WCW was, is not what Mexico was. So what type of stories do you think would work for wrestling? Or are you like, you know what, that was enjoyable, whether it's super athletic, super violent, super funny? What is there a thing where, and you know, where just like, that was fun, I enjoyed that. That speaks to me. That's the type of thing I would watch an hour of, just that style. I know I'm not, I know I can't, but that style, that method of telling stories speaks to me.
One that I enjoyed, and I want to say it was like 2003, maybe it was 2004. Was when Kane seemingly took out the Undertaker. Like, when he literally, I think they brought in a cement truck, and like, they put him in a coffin.
Oh, a Buried Alive match, I think.
Yeah.
And he lit a coffin on fire at one point, and I know he did a Buried Alive at one point.
Yeah, and I want to say they backed a cement truck in and poured it in. And of course, that was when the Undertaker was doing the biker thing for a while there. I guess he still does, mm-hmm. it, maybe.
No, he does it. Current look is kind of an amalgamation of all of it.
Okay.
He's more the Dead Man, mysterious, but not so much zombie, but also not. It was the American Badass Undertaker, because he had the Kid Rock song to bring him out to the ring.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was doing the biker thing, and then, you know, he came back at a WrestleMania. And he fought his brother. Of course, he came back as the Dead Man, right? You know, and I think they opened up the coffin or whatever, and of course he's the Dead Man rising, and, you know, it was silly, and obviously it's fake, but it was enjoyable, and it definitely...
Hey, scripted. We don't need scripted, Angry Rich again.
Scripted.
I was starting to turn a little green.
So, yeah, it had, you know, a bit of a horror element to it, had a little bit of a, you know, sci-fi vibe going on, and I enjoyed it. I mean, you knew he was coming back, you knew he just needed to take some time off, so they had to write him out, you know, and also it was a way to bring, you know, Kane, you know, like that dynamic back, I guess, between, you know, him and The Undertaker. But yeah, I really enjoyed that storyline. In terms of it was a departure from wrestling, because you had the supernatural element to it. But yeah, I loved it.
There's always been supernatural, horror, whatever, characters in wrestling, because you always need a bad guy to scare people. You need a reason to think this person's bad or evil or whatever. Kevin Sullivan perfected it in Florida back in territory days, when it was all little fiefdoms, little Game of Thrones all throughout North America. But he would be out there, and he'd have crazy face paint and pretend to, you know, be into the occult and everything. And he wasn't.
Dungeon of Doom.
Even before that, this was just Florida Championship Wrestling. He'd be like, I summon whatever. And it'd be some giant beast that just showed up in the territory that would literally, like, appear out of the ocean and walk up and be like, this is my new monster.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
But, oh, yeah. Back when it was Kevin Sullivan would have woman with him, which is ridiculous because she's taller than him. But he still had to seem like this threat. And he would paint up his face and speak in tongues and just seemed so evil and demonic. Undertaker obviously did it. You mentioned Dungeon Doom, which was WCW. You had the Ministry of Darkness, with Stone Cold being crucified on a giant Undertaker symbol.
Not to mention Big Boobed Stephanie.
Yeah.
that was great.
And currently now, WWE's debuted The Fiend, which is Bray Wyatt's alternate character.
I was going to mention that before when Chris was saying it, because it would kind of be perfect to do that again now, especially after the most recent pay-per-view we've had Finn Balor versus The Fiend, right? And he lost. Yeah. So I'm hoping that they're going to go down the route of bringing, like, now that Finn Balor's like, oh, I couldn't beat The Fiend, maybe it's time for me to bring out the demon, and we'll have the demon versus The Fiend. And that would be really freaking cool. Especially just the intros alone.
So this is actually an easy one to find on WWE's official YouTube page, Chris.
Okay.
It's a character named Bray Wyatt. And he did sort of like a backwoods hillbilly cult leader gimmick. It was kind of Cape Fear and kind of...
The Wayland Mercy one, you mean? Like,
yeah.
Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
The Wyatt family?
Yep, it was like Cape Fear mixed with X-Files Home episode.
Very New Orleans-ish, I would say. Like, I think, Swamp Family.
I think I remember something about that.
Yeah, so he had his lantern that would light the way to the ring, and he would have giant monster wrestlers behind him. They were part of his family. And he would come out and have these meandering, wandering promos that made no sense.
But they were so incredible.
Yeah, then a year later he'd come out and say, oh, that's all in code, by the way. If you do this, this, and this, it all comes together into one giant promo. Like, he's
really
on another. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he put one sentence in every promo that makes a separate, sensible promo on its own.
Oh, please link that later. You need to send me a link to find this. This is incredible.
So, but like most things, Wolverine, Venom, the Punisher, you have this popular villain anti-hero. They got too exposed and too popular. So he takes time off. He kind of disappears for a little while. And every all of a sudden they start building up the return of Bray Wyatt in a month, in 2 weeks, in a week, next week.
This is after like what, 2-3 years of him just losing to everyone, even though they're pushing him as the new Undertaker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were pushing him as the new occult, like, Undertaker leader, and he came in with the Wyatts, and they, you know, they devoured people for a little while, but then every single freaking match that he had, every single big push, every single feud that he had, he would end up losing terribly for years. They buried him so hard, and then he went away, and then they'll continue. Sorry.
You're fine. So he goes away, and they build up for his comeback. So everyone's expecting him to come back with the lantern, and and they would call it, when everyone turns on their cell phone, they call it the Fireflies. It's a really cool effect, actually, in the arena. So instead, all of a sudden, this Mr. Rogers promo airs. And it's his family fun time. And he's shaved, and he has his hair pulled back, and he's wearing a sweater and a shirt. Nice tie.
Mr. Rogers style, almost.
Yeah. And he has these creepy little puppets that he talks to. But then it'll be like the ring level camera edits of all of a sudden there's something creepy in the background. There's fire in the background. There's a disturbing image. So it's implying his mind is fractured, that he went to therapy, but it didn't work. So then he starts saying that the Fiend will come out. You're going to get the Fiend. The Fiend's going to show up. The Fiend's going to show up. And all of a sudden this character appears, and it's, oh crap. It's a Tom Savini mask. Created just for him, and it's kind of like it's similar to when the Joker cut his face off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's but so somehow creepy.
Even creepier. So this character will now, all a wrestler will be in the ring, all the lights will turn off in the building in sequence, and then he appears in a strobe light behind someone and takes him out. It's a complete horror villain. So he had his return match at SummerSlam, the pay-per-view, a couple weeks ago. He has this elaborate entrance where the lantern has been replaced with his previous persona's severed head. And it looks real, with a light emanating out of it. they remixed his song to make it even creepier somehow. He shows up, wrestles the match, wins, of course, because he should. It's his return. Mm-hmm. And then leaves. It just goes, it goes dark. He leaves. The fans, when the lights come back on, stood up in unison and just clapped. That was awesome. He's supposed to be the scariest, most frightening character of the modern era, and they cheered the performance of it, like a theater for a curtain call. And I've seen people chant, "This is awesome," for a match many times. I've seen people chant it during a match. That was a cool sequence. That was a very impressive athletic sequence just now. But they applauded acting, pretty much. And I've never seen that before.
Wow. Yeah, Rich just sent me a picture. And yeah, that's pretty scary looking.
And his mask in the bottom too, right? Like the lantern too is like so messed up, but yeah, I don't think the lantern's going to stick around.
Yeah, that is creepy.
But it's, you know, just like comic, we have, there's comedy wrestlers, which I love. The Iconics are a women's tag team from Australia. That are jokes. They are bad guys. They avoid everything. They try to avoid fighting, conflict, being hit, anything. Their shrill voices. But that's the point, though. They're doing their job well. That you can't stand them means they're doing their job.
But to me, I think it's more like X-Pac heat. Like, go away heat. Like, I just don't, like, you know, like, The Miz makes me angry and then, oh my god, I want to see him get his comeuppance way, whereas the Iconics, they make me angry and I'm like, why did you hire these stupid shrill women who never defend their damn titles kind of way? Like, I can't stand. Although at least Sasha Banks came back and, like, that whole, like, oh, I'm quitting because the Iconics took our titles, at least that's not real. Or at least they blew over.
Sasha Banks is the Shawn Michaels of women's wrestling. And I don't mean skill-wise. I mean, hey, you told me I'm going to lose my title, so I suddenly have a cold and can't come into work today.
But not only that, did you notice when she came back, she had her regular hair on, and then she ripped her hair off, which was a wig, and now she has a darker dye color of hair to represent the fact that, oh, this is a new Sasha Banks, I'm a heel now. And this is my heel color. So you can easily tell by looking at her, like, oh, she's different now. You know what I mean? Like, I really like that. I love that about it. It's really cool.
Rich, what a good segue. So
you're welcome.
Sasha Banks just did it. Chris Jericho was a big one for it. You knew if Chris Jericho was a face or heel or just trying something different.
He was wearing the jacket.
No, he would change everything he looked. When he was being a goofy heel in WCW, when he first came into WWE, he had his little pineapple peacock hair thing going.
Or the ponytail, the second ponytail or whatever, right? Is that what you're talking about? With the, like, half of his hair is down and then he had that little ponytail.
And the other half is up.
Yeah.
But when he turned face, he had to seem more serious and all, so he got rid of that look. When he would turn heel later, all of a sudden he cut his hair, he's wearing a suit, he's a totally different character now. I don't know what the heck he's doing now, other than cocaine, allegedly. But he would always evolve his look. And you see it in other things with characters. The way your favorite character looked in the first issue or the first episode of a season and how they look at the end is vastly different because of the evolution they've gone through. You don't think of an evolution of... You don't think of a wrestler being able to evolve, but... And Richard just brought up Sasha Banks. Was there anyone you've seen where you saw them when you were younger or first started watching, then years later you go, there's no way that's the same person. There's no way in hell that is the same person. But it is, and you know it is. But you cannot believe that somehow
You could almost say Cena, in a sense, because, I mean, like, he started off as that, like, snarky rapper heel character, and then, you know, became like the world's biggest fucking baby face, and, you know, even Hulk Hogan is looking at him like, damn, you know what I mean? So you could almost say that about him in a sense.
I think one of the big ones for me is seeing Scott Steiner. That is an unrecognizable person from I'm a college wrestler that's now going to be a pro and be in a tag team with my brother. And we still wear singlets to the ring. And I have my mullet. And we don't even cut promos. We just kind of go, yeah, we're Steiner Brothers and we're going to beat you up today. And then they go to the ring. To the blonde hair, chainmail, ridiculous, like he's got muscles that big aren't supposed to exist.
Yeah.
Cutting promos against, like, I'm going to destroy this male wrestler's body and then I'm going to destroy this woman's body in a different way. Later promos constantly.
It
doesn't seem like it's it should be two different people that just happen to have the same name.
Yep. I've got another one. What's his name? Something Right, but Papa Shango / the Good Charles Father / the Godfather thank you / he was it Mufasa or something, or because he was an MMA fighter for a little
Mufasa, the ultimate fighting machine.
Yes. So he played at least what, four different games, and he might have even been something else before Papa Shango too, right? Or was it Papa Shango? No.
He was Papa Shango in WWE. Okay. That was his first WWE character. He left, he came back as Kama. He left again, came back as a different Kama in the Nation of Domination. Mm-hmm. Turned into the Godfather, turned into the Good Father. And a couple years ago on an episode of SmackDown, the New Day dressed up as all three versions of him.
Oh, I love the New Day. They are so creative. I love them so much. They're great. I mean, like, I'm kind of tired of them in a way, and I really want Big E to, like, do his own thing. Like, I want him to have a heel turn and just be a freaking monster, because he is. He's massive, and he needs to have a good, crazy heel run. But I understand why they won't break them up, you know?
He should turn heel and be the one to defeat Kofi.
Oh, that would be so incredible. Oh, my gosh. And then have him turn face, like, later, and then have John Cena come back as a heel and beat him for the title, and then he gets his 17th championship, trumping Ric Flair. There we go. And then you get Triple H, who comes in and beats him, and then he gets his 17th title reign, and he also beats Ric Flair, and then Ric Flair comes back. No.
No. Now that Rich has gone off somewhere. Chris, is there anyone that you saw at one point, they said, who's this guy? Why does he look like, what's his deal? And someone, either you realize on your own or someone pointed out, hey, it's the same guy. That what you just sent me online?
Yeah, I sent you guys a picture of Stone Cold Steve Austin, like in his early days. I'll give you that one. Yeah.
The Hollywood blondes, right?
The blonde hair.
He's got a Dangerous Alliance picture.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But even, like, the Hollywood Blondes, and then even when you bring him to, what was he, the Mechanic. Even the Mechanic version of him, too.
Ringmaster.
Ringmaster, where he was a ring mechanic. That's what I'm thinking of. But the Ringmaster, yeah. I mean, he was still completely different even. So, yeah, that's a very good one, Chris, definitely. Yeah. Hell, even Paulie Dangerously versus Paul Heyman in a certain sense, right? Because you know, Paulie Dangerously with the telephone and then the suit, and then, you know, Paul Heyman, and especially in the ECW days when he was wearing his, like, you know, trench coat and the hat and everything, like, he was almost completely different too.
Well, I have a question. Is Eric Bischoff back now?
Yes
and no.
Okay.
Wait, what? No.
Yes. Well, he's not. Okay. SmackDown goes to Fox. So it's network TV starting in October.
Oh.
And there are certain requirements that are put on them, mostly ratings. So a bunch of stuff is going to change in October. One of the things is the shows will be a firm split. You're on Raw, you're on SmackDown. There's no crossing over.
Mm-hmm. No more wild card rule.
Which is absurd. Rumors the wild card rule happened because Vince McMahon couldn't remember who was on what show.
Yeah, so, we're Vince.
It's going to be a firm split because Fox is not going to want to advertise people on another channel on USA.
Okay. Especially for, what did they pay, $2 billion?
A lot, yeah. Which, and it makes sense. And as long as you got the network, you can have your crossover there and pay-per-views will cross over and all. So it makes sense. When they decided, all right, we can't just wait until October and then say, okay, it's two different shows and everyone should be awesome. No, you have to build up so when you hit October, you're already awesome. And what they did is they brought back Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. Paul Heyman of ECW fame to run Raw, Eric Bischoff of WCW to run SmackDown. Paul Heyman was already there. He's been coaching Brock. He's Brock's business manager in real life, apparently. He's the one that brought Goldberg back. He's the one that brought Ronda Rousey in. And anytime they do on WWE Network, they'll do documentaries. Here's us following someone for 24 hours, for a year, for this, for that, you know, a behind the scenes thing. There's certain people he coaches constantly. Like a recent one was on Alexa Bliss, and it shows Paul Heyman feeding her lines and giving her ideas and stuff. So he's been on hand unofficially for a while now. Now he's just officially pretty much head writer. Everyone come to me. I'll be head writer editor. I'll go to Vince. I'll fight with him, and then we'll have the show. And there was an immediate change. The first one he was in charge of, it was a 3-hour Raw, and it felt like it was an hour. It was just nonstop. You couldn't take a breath. There was something constantly. Bischoff, on the other hand, is going to be head writer SmackDown, but he's not going to write. He's going to be more head editor. Everyone come to me. I'll pick and choose the best ideas and go from there. But I'm not going to be writing them myself. Also, what he's there for is because he has more familiarity dealing with a giant empire of a television company from his dealings with Turner, he's going to help them with Fox. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But neither of them want to be on screen. Paul Heyman's only going to be on screen to deal with any Brock Lesnar stuff. Bischoff doesn't want to be on screen at all. Heyman could write Raw himself. And it'd be great. Bischoff wants someone to come to him, and he'll be like, that's a good idea, that's a good idea, let's change this. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go into meetings the rest of the day.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And if anyone's wondering, the reason why heir apparent Triple H or Stephanie was given neither of these is because of NXT going live on USA opposite the brand new All Elite Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be three brands come October.
And do they still do, like, they were doing, like, ECW stuff? Like,
That died. ECW, it still gets chanted now. That was not perfect, because there's a lot, you know, that's come out since, and looking back, there's certain things that don't shine as pretty anymore. Mm-hmm. But if you were a kid in the 80s, growing up loving Hogan, you were a teen to 20s at the time of ECW.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it. And it mattered. So it's always going to be cheered and all. And at one point, Vince said, you know, I own it. I should do something with this. So he said, all right, I need a network.
I'm going to ruin
it. I need someone to play this channel. Hey, USA, you got Raw. Do you want this? No, we don't want it. You can throw it on one of the other stations we own. Okay, where? Sci-Fi.
All right. Yeah, I remember that.
So Sci-Fi wanted sci-fi gimmicks, which is understandable. Now, the sensible thing would be, well, screw it. Let's throw Undertaker on there.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker is too big, though. He wasn't going to do that. So they created a character called the Zombie. They had a vampire. They had a tarot card reader. Gosh, there were other things I've just forgotten because they were bad.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. It was supposed to be a third equal brand, and it wasn't working. So what it evolved into was, hey, let's take these guys that were training in our minor leagues at the time. Let's throw them on TV. Then they get a little bit of TV exposure. They get experience to be on the road, get in hotels, cars, experience in front of the fans, in front of cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And that morphed into what NXT is now.
Oh, okay.
Much like we wouldn't have iPhones without the Apple Newton, we wouldn't have NXT without ECW. Mm-hmm. Let's make a lot of mistakes here and learn from it, and then that will make this other thing later a success because we've already had our failure to learn from.
Yeah, well, I had remembered they brought it back one of the times I was rewatching like Raw and SmackDown, but I never got into it. I just remember it being on Sportsnet, like on a Saturday afternoon, I think. Up here in Canada, anyway. But yeah, I never looked interesting to me.
The funny thing is, all those old WWE ECW ones are still on Hulu.
Oh, really?
So they're years old, but they're just sitting there. So, I mean, they're on the network, too, but the fact that they're still on Hulu, just kind of buried, is funny.
Yeah, and you see, we don't get Hulu up here, unfortunately. We do get the WWE Network, but...
Oh, they made damn sure that was in Canada. They, on their first announcement, WWE Network, here's the price, here's what you get, and all available in U.S. and Canada this day. Mm-hmm. They were not messing around with that. Like, England came later, other countries came later, but Canada was same day. They know their market.
Yeah. And that's nice, because, yeah, like, wrestling is fairly big in Canada as well. So, yeah, it was good that they had us in mind. I just quickly wanted to throw this out there. I just seen today that Disney Plus is also coming to Canada. So, yeah, that's another streaming service I'm going to have to pay for.
To tangent that for a moment, I wonder if you guys are getting the package deal then.
I doubt it. I would love it if we did, but I don't think so. Because of copyrights and all that crap.
Yeah. Package deal is Disney Plus on its own for $7 a month, or Disney Plus Hulu and ESPN for $15 bundled.
I'm not exactly sure how it works in Canada, because I know... I think the History Channel is tied in with Disney Plus. But I know
National Geographic definitely is.
Yeah, I did see National Geographic, and I want to see History as well. I could be wrong. But I think it's $8.99 for us Canadians, because we always got to pay a little bit more, because our dollar sucks. But of course, yeah, as soon as my wife saw that, she's like, yeah, we're getting that. I was like, yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah, $8.99 a month or $89.99 a year.
Yeah, I'm paying monthly.
Yeah, it's not launching here as a bundle like in the U.S. We're just getting the one, apparently, according to CBC.ca, as of 7 hours ago.
Well, and I mean, I would have got it anyway because of the Marvel stuff that's coming out. I think that starts this spring.
Oh, yeah, all the Marvel shows, yeah. It's launching, the service is launching in Canada on November 12th, by the way, Chris.
Yeah.
Just for an exact date.
Yeah, and then I think the Marvel stuff, like, is it the Falcon and Winter Soldier that's first? I want to say that's, like, spring 2020. But anyway, sorry for going off.
Oh, my gosh. They have so many different products, too. It's crazy how many different shows and stuff that they own because of all the different brands, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Mandalorian series is going to be on there from Star Wars. So,
no, but I mean, like, they own, like, Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder, Lost, Die Hard, The Sound of Music, Lady and the Tramp, Home Alone, Night at the Museum, you know, like, all of
these ABC.
Things.
Everything that's ever been on ABC will be on there because they own ABC.
Yeah, exactly. They own Pulp Fiction because Pulp Fiction was made by a subsidiary of theirs, right?
Yep. Rumor is PG-13 is the limit for Disney Plus. Anything above it is on Hulu.
Oh, that's interesting. So we're just not going to get anything above it in Canada?
Canada's
PG-13 only?
Isn't that how the world sees you, though?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, we can't have nice things up here.
Yeah, the U.S. is saying we're going to war, and Canada's like, we'll bring sandwiches, eh?
And to bring it back, there are rumors at least once or twice a year of Disney buying WWE. I don't see it ever happening, but the rumors always bubble up.
Never.
I could see it if Vince... like, finally calls her quits, I could see him, like, wanting to go out with a bang and making a lot of money.
But his daughter's got the same mind he does, though.
Yeah, and he already made a bunch of money, because he made $2 or $3 billion off of Fox, and then he made another $1 or $2 billion off of the Saudi Arabia princes, right?
Well,
so,
well, that's the thing, though.
The blood oil money.
When you're that rich, you just got to keep getting richer. Like they can't stop, right?
Fair.
Unless you're George Lucas, point. Then you stop. But
yeah, really.
Now, I think we'll all feel wrap it up. I just thought in closing, does anyone have a funny, maybe firsthand wrestling story to end it all on the light note?
I know you do, Chris. So.
Yeah. Well, did I tell it on this podcast yet? I'm not sure if I did.
Not
well,
this specific episode.
Every episode, every issue is someone's first.
That is, I do reference the Stan Lee quote that every comic book is someone's first comic book. So every podcast, yeah, that is true. Okay, so what had happened was, this was 2012, I went to the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo with my son, and they hit that year, for whatever reason, they had a whole bunch of old school wrestlers. They had, like, Jake the Snake, they had Million Dollar Man. Who else do they have? Those are the two big ones that I... the Honky Tonk Man. So the first little story I'll tell you is, it was the Friday night, and my son and I checked into the hotel, blah, blah, blah. We're, you know, sitting in the room. I'm like, I'll go down to... Because this hotel had a lounge. I'm like, I'm going to go down to the lounge and have a couple beers. And my son was... you know, watching TV, playing video games, whatever. So he's like, yep. And then, so I went down there and I'm sitting there. And there's this guy who's, he kind of reminded me of kind of like Elvis. And I'm thinking, man, this, you know, is he an Elvis impersonator? Like, what's going on here? Like, and this other guy was talking to him, and then his wife was there as well, the Elvis looking guy's wife. And then I was kind of putting it together. I'm like, wait a second. And then I went to the, I had my cell phone, so I went to the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo website to find out who all the guests were, and sure enough, I was sitting next to the Honky Tonk Man. So, at some point, you know, I started talking to him about something, and then we ended up talking for, I don't know, I was at that bar till probably 2 in the morning, just drinking beers and chit-chatting with the Honky Tonk Man and his wife. We talked about everything. And actually, we talked a lot about not so much wrestling, but like the celebrities. Because he does go to conventions quite a bit, I guess. And he was just telling me, you know, how, you know, Shatner kind of treats the wrestlers like shit. And same with Billy Dee Williams. I guess he's a real dick to the wrestlers. It was awesome. And really nice guy. We had a good time. And then on the Sunday night, we were at the same lounge. My son and I went to the lounge because the kids were allowed in the lounge till 8 o'clock or something. So we went down for supper, right? And sitting there, and I'm looking down the lounge, and I see a bunch of the old wrestlers sitting at a table. And they're, you know, clearly drinking, having a good time. And so I told my son, you know, oh, that's a Million Dollar Man sitting at that table with a bunch of the other wrestlers. Why don't you go get their autographs? So he went down there. And my son is, or was, a wrestling fan, but he didn't really know the older wrestlers. At the time, like, I think he was a fan of the Hardy Boys, like Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy and those were his favorite wrestlers at that time. So anyway, he didn't really know them, but he, you know, he thought it was cool anyway. So he went down there, got their autographs, brought them back. And then we're sitting there, and then I look over, and Jake the Snake is walking towards our table, right? And he come up, and he's like, hey, how's it going, little buddy? And he's, you know, and he's talking to my son, whose name is Bailey. He's like, oh, I'm good. And he asks, you know, what's your name again, kid? And, you know, I'm Bailey. And then he kind of looks at me and he gives me like the snarl type of look, right? Jake the Snake does. And he's like, who's this guy? And Bailey says, that's my stepdad. And he looks at me and he looks at Bailey and he says to Bailey, just say the word, kid, and I'll kick his ass right here. And Bailey's like, oh, no, he's my stepdad. He's awesome. And okay, kid. And he goes walking off, eh? And he was clearly quite drunk. Like, he was very drunk.
No.
And
the hell you say, Jake?
And I really think if Bailey had said, yeah, kick his ass, he would have kicked my ass. Because even though he was really drunk, and at this point he was very out of shape, I know he probably could have kicked my ass with one arm tied behind his back. Despite being drunk and out of shape, he was still a massive man. And, you know, I had no doubt that he would have kicked my ass, had Bailey said, yeah, kick his ass. And then, I guess it would have been 2 years later is when he got clean and got back into shape and he turned his life around. And then they did that documentary in 2015 called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. So that was really nice to see him. Like, when I met him, he was at probably his worst. And then he kind of redeemed himself. Or he did redeem himself a few years later. It was nice to see that turnaround. And I just looked. That documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, is not available anymore on Netflix Canada, unfortunately. But if you can find it, it is a good documentary. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
So anyway, those were my two quick stories with wrestlers.
Hey, Rich, do you got one?
Not really. I just said something really dumb in front of Colt Cabana one time when he came to Ottawa. Forget who it was, but I said something along the lines of like, oh, what's it like to wrestle in a WWE arena or something really dumb, where he was just like, he had to correct me, and I was like, oh, oops. Sort of thing, and I was like, ah, damn it. How about a picture, man? Sweet. Okay, bye. And I like ran away because I felt like an idiot, but that's about it. I've only ever been to one WWE show and one independent show in Ottawa, and that's it. I've never really been to any shows, unfortunately.
So we were, I went with one group to a house show in Potsdam, New York. Which they would never do that small of a market now. And for those of you who know, Potsdam is so close to Canada, you could probably throw a rock and hit it before you could hit anything else in the U.S. But one of my friends was very excited for all the wrestlers. And so he was high-fiving people and everything. And one of them was the Sultan. Now, this is a largely forgotten gimmick, but it was Rikishi under a mask, pretending to be a man from the Middle East. So one of my friends was getting all excited during the match and slapped the Sultan on the back. Looking back on this, you know, when wrestlers have been stabbed and had things thrown at them and everything, mm-hmm. It was probably not a good idea. But this giant Samoan with a shaved head and a mask reeled his hand back. I thought I was going to see someone die. I honest to God thought I was gonna. So he sees this teenager with just the fear of God in his eyes, backed off, but then motioned security over because I guess he didn't realize it was just a hand goofing around and thought it was, you know, someone, you know, believing it's all a little too real and getting involved in the match. But yeah, I honest to God thought I was gonna see someone die that night. We'll still make fun of him for it to this day. But, on a lighter note, and to tie it all into the beginning of the show, in my hometown of Watertown had a show, and everyone's at the arena for the path that the wrestlers would have to take. So they went the, like, a talent employee entrance, and had to go like the snake line to the locker room. And of course, everyone's lined up all along it, asking for autographs, pictures, everything. And these guys have been on the road for a while and they got to get ready for their matches. So they're just not having it. And some might wave and take a picture or two, but no one's doing autographs. No one's hanging out. And I'm right in there too. I was probably 15, 16 years old at the time. Seeing if I could get an autograph. I got my autograph book. I got my program, everything. Nothing's happening. And I'm ready to give up, and I turn around to see if I'm able to even leave or if everyone's just kind of crushed up forward. And I turn around, look behind me, I'm like, I have never seen this person in town before. Like, it's a small enough town. I don't know who everyone is, but it's almost all recognizable faces, or you just kind of have a look of being local. I was like, I have never seen this guy before. He's in a windbreaker, glasses, hat. He's got some yellow hair sticking out from behind there. It's definitely incognito. Oh my God, Owen Hart's been standing behind me for the last 15 minutes. Oh, Owen Hart snuck in, the known prankster, purposely hiding his features, and was behind fans, begging wrestler autographs and pictures, screaming at the wrestlers as well. So he's back there yelling, can I get your autograph? Can I get a picture with you? Blending in with everyone, no one having a clue he's right there behind us. Nothing. So I turn around and see him. He must have seen a look on my face. And he just goes, ah, shit. Turns around and walks away. So he knew he'd been made. I come run up behind him. We're kind of off to the side. Now he turns around. He's like, please don't tell anyone I'm here. Said, I won't tell anyone if you sign this for me. Goes, go ahead and get my picture. So I flip through, find his picture, signs it, takes off, and then comes through the main entrance that everyone else has already come through when he's been standing there 20 minutes at this point. But it was just first show, got an autograph, got a story. How could I not be a fan for life after that? All right. So if everyone's ready to go to bed, we can go through and remind everyone where we can be found on the internet. Okay, Chris, I feel bad making you go.
not be last. Oh, it's all good, buddy. It's all good. I'm just guesting here. Remember, I'm just having some beers.
I know. It feels no. Sick. It's like a mirror universe there.
No, I'm enjoying it. It's nice. Well, I'm not gonna.
Does this mean I have to edit as well?
No, I can do that. So I'm not actually gonna promote anything on this episode, but I am gonna make a recommendation. There is a documentary that they did last year on Andre the Giant called Andre the Giant, and it came out in 2018. I know in Canada it's available on the Crave app if you have Crave TV. It's a great documentary on Andre the Giant, and it's bittersweet. He was a really super nice guy. A lot of the old school wrestlers came on to pay their tributes. Even like McMahon was interviewed, Hogan. I can't remember who else is big names, but those are the two biggest names. Of course they interviewed the cast of
Princess Bride.
Yes, sorry. The Princess Bride, they interviewed, I think the entire cast was on that documentary as well. But it is definitely worth checking out. It just came out last year. I just happened to be watching TV, flipping through the channels one day, or flipping through the guide on the satellite, and I seen it. I watched it. I caught the last part of it, I think. And then, because I have the Crave TV app, I watched the whole documentary. It was nice. My wife enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. And that's all I got.
I don't have anything to recommend right now. I will say, if you want to find me on Twitter right now, I'm still currently at Team Hellions, but kind of doing a character reboot myself right now. So we'll see where that lands.
Cool.
I would like to suggest people also watch the Ric Flair 24, what was it, 24 for 24, whatever it was, on ESPN. 30 for 30. There we go. Because that is also amazing and incredible. I am kind of taking a hiatus from podcasting for the most part right now. I've just got a lot of going on in my personal life. However, I did just launch a new Instagram and Twitter account. I haven't really posted anything yet, but ironically, it's for my part-time Ubering that I do. I have turned the back of my Uber into a Ubercade, or arcade, as you will. I've got a little tablet back there with a couple of controllers, and people can get in and play some old school games. So I'm at Ready Uber One.
Nice.
On Instagram and Twitter as well, and hopefully I will be, you know, posting a couple of things here and there, fun people, fun rides, getting tagged, stuff like that. I thought it would be kind of fun to be able to do and, you know, put on my Uber profile and get some more 5-star ratings.
That's awesome.
Is that number one or spelled out one?
Spelled out one.
And Chris, for anyone who's never heard you previously on the Pop Culture Pump, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at ChrisLock1701. And I will say, you know, this was a fun episode, and we will probably be doing another wrestling episode at some point in the near future, in the not too distant future, because there's definitely a lot that we could still talk about, I'm sure.
For sure.
I don't think you pick a topic that we couldn't do multiple ones on.
Yeah, I have that knack for some reason. Because, well, part of the problem is you get to the end of the episode, and then while you're editing or the next day, you think to yourself, damn it, I totally forgot to talk about this one thing that I remembered but didn't remember at the time. So then you got to do another episode, so.
I forget which one it was, but because I have an ego, I always listen to the episodes again when they're posted.
Okay. Because
I can't get enough of myself.
Well, I appreciate the listeners. I appreciate it.
I was listening at work, and I was so upset I didn't bring something out. I must have yelled out, and I didn't realize someone was around me because I had my headphones in. And I had to do a lot of explaining for why I was randomly swearing and screaming at work.
Well, hopefully you weren't swearing at me. Hopefully it was just something you forgot. That damn Chris.
Yeah, it was just that son of a bitch cut me off. No, I was just like, damn it, why didn't I think of that?
Well, I will throw it out there that at the time of this recording, our next planned episode, the topic is going to be movie theater stories. Yeah, so I got some interesting stories of you know, people that I've met at the movie theater. And I thought it'd be a fun topic. So that will be our next
crazy one about Alanis Morissette.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, Kev, if you want to take us out, sir.
All right, we would like to thank you all for joining us this week on the Pop Culture Pub. If you would like to be a member of the Pop Culture Pub, please send a request on Facebook. Chris will approve just about anyone as long as you're not a jerk and keep it civil on that page.
Or my mother-in-law. Always good. just kidding.
Always good content on the page, always something new every day, and it makes Facebook an enjoyable place, which it used to be before everyone had to throw their terrible opinions out there. But this has been another edition of the Pop Culture Pub. I feel like we're just getting warmed up here, so we hope you stick around for future episodes. Good night. We'll put out your lights. We're men in tights.
guard defending the people's rights. La 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 la.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, speaking of Facebook, I seen a thing today, and I had to read all the comments because I could not believe how quickly this turned bad. Someone posted this joke. It was on, like, one of the Marvel fan groups where the person's, you know, it's a text between two people where, hey, babe, how's it going? And then the babe responds by saying, I just threw out all your Marvel DVDs because I'm tired of them being on the shelf. And then the response is, well, I hope you got your bags packed because when I get home, I'm throwing you out.
That's awesome.
Well, it turned into this big thing about this one woman was commenting and saying that it was misogynistic, that it was, you know, all this other stuff. And then people pointed out, because he said, or because the person started out by saying, babe, how's it going? Or, babe, what are you doing? You just assumed it was a man saying, babe?
Oh, good point.
Like it doesn't actually define which sex is which person. Or, I mean, it could be a same-sex couple.
Mm-hmm.
But this lady took it to, like, that it was, like, man-bashing. And then, of course, there was men on that were commenting that started bashing her, and then I don't know, it got really ugly and really fast, and of course it was like a train wreck. I couldn't look away. I had to keep reading the comments. but it a stupid joke. Like, it wasn't even, like, it was funny, but it got turned into this whole big political thing, and it's just crazy how fast it snowballed.
And the original text could have been them goofing around.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I would assume we all have, if not your wife, a friend or someone that, okay, if this text was taken out of context, it sounds awful. Within mm-hmm. the larger joke, it's fine.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I know there's sarcasm here. Or I know there's, the tone here on its own. Yeah, it could look terrible.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
Been goofing around.
It was definitely a gag text. Like, it wasn't real. You know, it was something that I think, you know, someone did with two different phones and just made it look, you know, just to put it on there just because they thought it was funny. And it was funny. But, yeah, people took it the wrong way real quick. But, that does not happen at the Pop Culture Pub, fortunately. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, thankfully.
We're trying. We just...
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. And, Kev, thank you again for hosting. That was awesome. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, I agree.